against Bitcoin.
It's going up forever, Warren.
You're against Bitcoin. You're against freedom.
Yo, welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live, your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, code breaking news, culture, matic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Today's a very special episode. Nayib Bukele has won re-election in El Salvador by a historic margin. Last time I checked, he won 87% of the vote. Well, can you look at that? Like a president, a politician who actually says the things he's going, the things that he promises on campaign. And look, he gets reelected for it. Look at that. It's very interesting. Of course, that doesn't stop the legacy media from going absolutely bonkers. There was a week before, there was attacks from multiple outlets, not only multiple outlets, but also a political attack as well. There is a U.S. representative that tried to, and I'm going to say a very strong wording, but it's the truth, interfere in the election of El Salvador. So we're going to get to all that. We're going to cover the details. Nayib Bukele also had some very strong words as to why he believed he was being attacked. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an example of democracy. This is the definition of democracy. Even though the detractors of Bukele, the people that were hating on Bukele, one of the excuses that they continued to use was that Nayib Bukele was a threat to democracy. If you win 87% of the vote, isn't that an example of democracy? Well, I believe it's because they define democracy differently. And Nayib Bukele gets to that. We'll explore all of those topics, of course. And we also have a very special guest. We have Trey Sellers. He is the VP Enterprise Sales at Unchained. We're super, super happy to have them. Happy to have him. We're going to talk about Unchained, of course. And during the numbers, we're going to talk about inflation, right? The continuing gaslighting that continues to happen, not only from the legacy media, from the central bankers, and also from the politicians. Well, I don't think that they'll be able to get away with that for that much longer. I think the Overton window is shifting. People are starting to wake up to the reality of what is inflation, and most importantly, what is money? Does the money need to decrease in purchasing power in order for it to exist? That's a very important question. I don't think governments have a really good answer to that. Anyways, no more delay. I do want to bring up my co-host, always optimistic. Opti, you're looking good today, bro. What's up? How you doing?
I don't know. Another day in paradise, man. Life's good. Life's great. Everything's good. It's and not only just for us here at Simply Bitcoin, but man, incredible results coming out of the El Salvador election, especially considering that we did see what were you saying, interference last week.
I mean, it's a strong word, but to be fair, that's the word that they use. That's a lot of like the talking points that they use, like interfering in elections. So I'm just kind of like throwing back the words that they've used back.
Make
at
them live up to their own rules.
Exactly. So yeah, man, incredible news coming out of El Salvador. This is five more years to allow the Bitcoin law to do its thing. Five more years of peace, wow. Opportunity, optimism in El Salvador. I saw a joke by Max Kaiser. I remember the saying, there's always a little bit of truth in every joke. Max Kaiser put out a poll, should Nayib Bukele run again once his turn is over? Kind of
really make them freak out.
That's really kind of interesting that he says that. Anyways, no more delay. I do want to bring up our very guest, Trey Sellers. Thank you so much for joining us on Simply Bitcoin today. How you doing, man?
What's up, Nico? What's up, Opti? Thanks for having me, guys.
So, how bad did I butcher your title? So, it's Vice President
Enterprise Sales. I've been with Unchained for like almost 3 years now, and I've seen it all. You know, Unchained has grown quite a bit over the last few years since I've been here. And we really have moved from a startup into a full blown company now, right? And we've got a whole bunch of different departments. We've got a lot of process and are much more professional in the way that we approach the market. And so we're moving into new markets, enterprise being one of those. And so I'm lucky enough to be able to head that effort.
Absolutely. I'm a huge fan of the company. I remember when you guys first started, used some of your guys' products before. Big fan, you know, the Caravan feature, the multi-sig, the collaborative custody. There's so many products that Unchained offers that really I feel like is the top of the line. So huge fan of Unchained, huge fan of what you guys are doing. And overall, it's going to be a great episode. Opti, could you cue the audience, maybe drop some little hints about what we're going to talk about during the culture?
Well, it's going to be all things Unchained. So if you have ever wondered what they're doing at Unchained, why you should maybe consider them, we're going to get into the nitty gritty today about you guys making sure that you're custodying your Bitcoin correctly for the future and for the long term.
100%. 100%. All right, ladies and gentlemen, before we do jump into numbers, I want to give a very special shout out to our flagship center. And of course, I'm talking about Bitcoin Well. Buy real Bitcoin. Bitcoin Well is the self-custody Bitcoin platform on a mission to enable independence. Bitcoin Well is the first Bitcoin on-ramp to enable Bitcoin self-custody by default. So that's right. You have to take self-custody to use the Bitcoin Well platform. We're very, very excited to partner with them. This is just the beginning. And also, they want to take your feedback as they build out the platform and as they expand into the United States. So guys, check out bitcoinwell.com today. No more delay. Let's jump straight into the numbers. We have a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Is your Bitcoin in cold storage really secure? Is your seed phrase really secure? Stampseed's do-it-yourself kit has everything you need to hammer your seed words into commercial-grade titanium plates instead of just writing them on paper. Don't store your generational wealth on paper. Paper is prone to water damage, fire damage. You want to put your generational wealth on one of the strongest metals on planet Earth, titanium. Your words are actually stamped into this metal plate with this hammer and these letter stamps. And once your words are in, they aren't going anywhere. No risk of the plate breaking apart and pieces falling everywhere. Titanium stamped seeds will survive nearly triple the heat produced by a house fire. They're also crush-proof, waterproof, non-corrosive, and time-proof. All things that paper is not, allowing you to hodl your Bitcoin with peace of mind for the long haul. Stamp your seed on Stampseed. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I made it incredibly easy for you guys. You could scan the QR code on your screen. It will take you directly to the Stampseed website where you can use promo code simply to get 15% off anything on their website. Don't put yourself in a position where you have to explain to your grandchildren why you lost your generational wealth because you didn't properly secure your Bitcoin wallet seed words. Anyways, at the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 42,630. Sats per dollar, 2,346. Block height, 829,071. Blocks to halving, 10,929. Halving estimate, April 19th, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 4,928 Bitcoin, or roughly $210 million. Realized monetary inflation, 1.75%. The total market capitalization of Bitcoin, $836 billion with a B. Bitcoin versus gold market cap, 6.07%. In the grand scheme of things, Bitcoin is still a baby because I want to give you guys a quick ETF update. The BlackRock iShares ETF continues to 72,000 Bitcoin at the beginning of last week. It was sitting at 50,000 Bitcoin. Obviously, tremendous amount of inflows, lots of institutional interest. Very exciting stuff. If you combine both Fidelity and BlackRock, they're estimated to hold about 150,000 Bitcoin together. Absolutely crazy, right? Give or take, probably like 140 to 150,000. But we'll give you guys an update on the ETFs every single day because that number continues to go up, which is really, really interesting.
Anyways, Nico, what I want to know is who among you, is anybody willing to admit to selling your Bitcoin to BlackRock? Who's doing it? It's not me.
If anyone admits in the chat that they're doing that, we will ban you out of the chat. No, but it's true. Who's selling?
I mean someone has to be doing
it. Wait, let's actually have this conversation before we move on to the inflation conversation. Trey, like, honestly, where are they getting all this Bitcoin, right? Because we know that the vast majority of Bitcoin, it's in cold storage. It's not moving, right? Miners only have so much to sell. So who's selling them this Bitcoin, Trey?
Yeah, I mean, as much as we would like to think that Bitcoin has arrived on the world stage, and it has, it's making its introduction, right? It's just walking out onto the stage. Most people still don't understand it. Most people don't understand how valuable it actually is to hold on to those sats. And so they're not concerned with making sure that they lock it down and preventing Larry Fink and anybody else from getting a hold of those. So, you know, you and I and this group of people watching the show, we're in the minority, unfortunately, but that will change over time. Larry and all the people who are running these ETFs, the people who are buying Bitcoin in these large amounts and these institutions, they're going to have to pay a much higher price in order to, you know, pry any of these sats away from the hodlers that are joining here today.
100%. And eventually they're going to run. There's not going to be enough Bitcoin to sell to them, which means number go up, right?
It's going up forever, as they say. I mean, sourcing Bitcoin in the future is going to be very difficult. Unless you are just pulling it from the economy, providing goods and services and that kind of thing. I will never sell a single sat to Larry Fink and the ETFs. I don't know what people are thinking out there.
Absolutely. It's going up forever, Laura. Amen to that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to talk about the continued gaslighting. And I think that they can only keep this up for so long. This is Opti's ex-girlfriend, Christine Lagarde. Opti is infamous for dating all the central bankers trying to get the benefits of the cantillionaire class. He hasn't been successful yet, but let's check out this latest video from Christine Lagarde. Apparently, she's watching Simply Bitcoin because she started doing shorts. Let's check it out.
Floods, droughts, and wildfires last year were just a preview of what is to come. A hotter climate and nature loss are changing our economy and our financial system. At the ECB, we must understand this change to ensure financial stability and to fulfill our price stability mandate. With our new climate and nature plan, we focus on the following three things. First, the green transition. Second, the growing physical impact of climate change. And third, the risks from nature loss and degradation. We will study the impact on the economy and the financial system. This will help us improve our own models. We will also work to reduce our carbon footprint in everything we do, from banknotes to how we supervise banks.
So, I mean, like, the Simply Bitcoin comment, I think, is the best fitting, right? Is like they will blame climate change for inflation, because that really sure seems like where it's going. And I think I've heard her say that more directly in the past. Here's this crazy, crazy article that came out from the Washington Post February 2nd. It goes on to say, inflation has fallen. Why are groceries still so expensive, right? So, like, clearly, we have a lot of education to do as Bitcoiners. We have to continue shifting that Overton window, right? Because they've clearly have the higher ground here, right? And not only with Christine Lagarde basically making the claim that somehow, you know, these central banks can not only, quote unquote, manage the economy, but also manage the weather somehow, which is absolutely absurd. And then here, I think, is a really important point. And then we've seen the current, regardless of Democrat or Republican, you guys know we're apolitical on Simply Bitcoin. We don't lean left or right, blue, red. We are on the side of the party of orange versus the party of green. Anyways, so I do want to highlight this, right, which is inflation has fallen. Why are groceries still so expensive? So, and that's a narrative that, you know, the current administration has used, right? We've tackled inflation. Inflation has come down. Just because inflation has come down, all that means is that the rate of which prices are increasing is slowing down. But that does not mean that the prices are going to go back down to where they were before. And that's a really important point, especially for the general public to understand, because one of the things that you'll always hear from central banks, from governments is, oh, inflation is falling at a record pace. Inflation is back to normal. That doesn't mean that the prices before the crazy record money printing due to the pandemic are back to where they were before. In fact, they're like 40% higher to where they were before, right? So we still have a lot of education to do. But I do see the Overton window shifting. I do see people waking up to the scam. I do see people waking up and asking questions. We've seen Joe Biden get community noted on Twitter, like caught in 4K. We've seen Christine Lagarde. We've seen Elizabeth Warren. So we are making progress, but we still have a tremendous amount of work to do, especially if those types of articles are being seriously written. Like that's absolute lunacy. And here's the thing. Here's where Bitcoin has a major competitive advantage. Because one of the talking points that they use for central bank digital currencies is, hey, this is going to make payments more efficient. And one of the cases that they make is people are seeking efficient payments, and that's why they're seeking alternatives, where in reality, people are seeking alternative payments because it's deflationary, right? Bitcoin is a deflationary currency. That means your purchasing power increases over time versus your purchasing power decreasing over time, which is what fiat currencies will ensure that you do if you hold them for long periods of time. So anyways, Trey, you guys are doing some great work at Unchained. You guys release a ton of educational material. Does it surprise you at all? You know, this type of, I'm going to call it for what it is. This is gaslighting. This is pure gaslighting. They must think we're stupid. And maybe we are. Maybe we are in a way. Maybe we were stupid pre-2009. Anyways, what's your take?
Yeah, well, I watched Jay Powell on the 60 Minutes interview they did last night. I was actually surprised to hear him say, we do not expect that those prices that we had before, you know, 2020 are actually going to come back down. Yes, inflation has dropped, but he's actually, you know, telling the truth to say, look, you're never going to see those prices actually come back down. And that is because of all of the money printing that happened throughout those years. I was kind of surprised to see him admit that. But you know, it is par for the course. You're absolutely right that, you know, they control things through narrative. People need stories. People need to hear the definitions of words over and over again in the framing that those people who are controlling all of this need them to hear it so that they will go along with it. And if you say it over and over and over again, the language and the way that we talk about things starts to change and starts to shift. So they can't necessarily control what you say, but they can control what you are talking about. And if they frame the discussion around inflation being, you know, an increase or decrease in prices, as opposed to working through the traditional definition of inflation being an expansion of the money supply, it allows them to really anchor the discussion the direction that they want it to go. And then if you include this extra layer of this CPI you know, calculation that is very open to manipulation and weird ways of interpretation, you can really help to frame people's thought process in a way where they can say, oh, look, we accomplished our goal. Inflation is down. We came in and we saved the day, even though we created the problem in the first place. Don't worry about that. We saved the day. We're good to go. And so you should be happy and excited about your life and go out and start producing so that we can start collecting more of these tax revenues.
100%. But we still got to work. We still got a ton of work to do. We got to shift that Overton window. Take individual agency, take action, you know, educate the people around you, educate your family members. And a lot of the political discourse, I feel like they use this divide and conquer strategy, which whatever political party's in power, you know, they blame all the economic woes on that political party. When in reality, both political parties are doing the same thing. They're printing a ton of money, therefore, you know, hurting the lower middle classes that don't have the means to save in assets. Therefore, they don't benefit from asset inflation. Anyways,
they do it because it works. It's worked for thousands of years. You know, don't expect for that to change. The propaganda and the media outlets and the way that they control a conversation is how you control a population. You can't do it with brute force because they're a kind of a tiny minority of the population, right? So the language that is used, the media outlets that are used, the framing of the discussion, that is how all of this is controlled and massaged. And I don't mean it's like, you know, people in a back room with cigars and all that stuff, like coming up with some sinister plan, but the incentive structure is in place such that they're able to keep people moving in the direction that they want to, so that they can continue to extract more wealth toward those people who are closer to the money spigot.
100%. I completely agree with that. Opti, what's your take on this, brother?
Yeah. I don't know. First and foremost, you know, the fact that Christine Lagarde is starting to create her own content. I don't know if it was just the way we got that on our Twitter, but the audio is only coming out of one ear. So like, they need to work on the quality of their content. All right, that's just me trolling. The second one is kind of what Trey was saying. You know, there was a seemingly breath of fresh air coming from Jerome Powell. He was actually being honest for once on 60 Minutes. And like, personally, I was so surprised when I saw the clips going around and what he was saying on 60 Minutes, basically like, yeah, prices are never going to go down. And it was just like, oh my God, like Jerome Powell is finally saying what we've been saying for a long time. Like, he almost sounded like a Bitcoiner. He's like, yeah, you know, inflation may be going down, but like prices are going up forever. And we got to keep printing until the end of time to keep this thing going. And it's absolutely incredible that the central bankers are saying what we've been saying for a long time. And then on that inflation headline, like, we got to remember that inflation and prices aren't the same thing. Like, they've printed an obscene amount of money in the last couple of years, which means that prices are probably always going to be this high. And so just because inflation is going down doesn't necessarily mean that prices should be going down as well, especially when you expand the money supply by what, like 50% in the last 3 years? Like, there's no way prices are going down. And on that note, I went out and got a burger last night. I got a Shake Shack. It was absolutely delicious. And it's with a Bitcoiner. It's with my friend. And I think he was kind of trolling, so like the normies around listening could kind of like ask themselves questions. He always tries to do this. And he like ordered his burger and he's like, man, isn't it interesting that like a few years ago you could buy a burger for $10? And it seems like anytime I buy anything, it's like $18, $20. Like, what's going on here? And yeah, it was delicious, guys. I like Shake Shack. Anyways, and I like looked at him because I didn't realize he was trolling me, right? And I'm like, dude, like, you're a Bitcoiner. Do you not understand how inflation works? And he's like, dude, I know. I'm just like, I'm trying to do this so the people around me hear what's going on. And like, for a quick moment, I'm like, bro, you've been in Bitcoin for like how many years and you still don't get how inflation works? They're printing obscene amount of money. Doesn't mean prices are ever going to go down. And so the fact that we are seeing at least this conversation, you know, I hate to get everyone drunk on Monday morning, but the Overton window shifting on inflation into the public consciousness just goes to show that this year is going to be a very big year in regards to not just the Bitcoin price, but all of the talking points that we've been talking about Bitcoin. Like, we know, and again, not to get too political here, but like this Tucker Carlson Putin interview that's going to happen this week, I think is going to even further that conversation on what's going on with central banking and centralizing all the forces and all the obscene amount of money printing and what's happening with the BRICS nations and all them moving and posturing away from the dollar. Like, the dollar wars, the currency wars are heating up right now. And if you are just an average person that's just trying to live their, you know, day-to-day life, living paycheck to paycheck, like, you can get absolutely wrecked if you are still believing the official narratives coming out from the central banking. And remember, this is a show where Nayib Bukele is on the headline. Remember the article coming out from Bitcoin Magazine, do not drink
we're
the elite's Kool-Aid. I know, exactly. I love it. And it's that one quote that we always use, that the powers that be have been able to control the flow of information, and that is by design. The whole system is based on trusting it, and the fact that, oh, the people in suits and the you know, the people with accolades and academic resumes, like, they know what they're doing. Trust the experts. They're a lot smarter than you. Like, they can financially manipulate the markets, and everyone's calling their bluff right now. Everyone is feeling, like, everyday people are feeling the pain of inflation. And what's Nico, what do you always say? Like, you can't hide the shock or the sticker shock of inflation market or whatever.
You can say whatever you want, but once you go to the supermarket and you see this, that's why they call it the sticker shock. It doesn't lie. Like, there's no amount of articles from, the Wall Street Journal or whatever from government saying, yeah, we've got inflation under control. It's like, then why are things 40% more expensive? Right. And to add to your point, and we'll get to it during the Nayib Bukele article. And the reason I haven't played you guys the 60 Minutes clip, so we're going to dedicate the entire episode tomorrow to focus on that.
Let's go.
But the Putin and Tucker Carlson interview is historic in the sense
break
that
the internet.
The obviously corporate media is losing their control. They're no longer the single source of information. And I think that's going to really, really change the discourse in people. I think people are more and more seeking their information from independent media, which isn't co-opted, which isn't captured. And that completely changes the discussion. And that completely shifts the Overton. It shatters the Overton window, in fact. Anyways, everybody.
Wait, Nico, before we go, I feel it'd be a missed opportunity if we don't say my favorite inflation metaphor. It's like, just because you're getting fatter at a slower rate doesn't negate the fact that you're still getting fatter. This is what these inflation numbers are about. Yes, the inflation's going down, but they're still expanding the money supply. It's like, yeah, it sounds good. You were gaining 5 pounds last month, but this month you're only gaining 3 pounds. It's like, that's good. I applaud you, but you're still getting fatter. This is how you should be thinking about the inflation numbers.
100%.
It is a bit of a dangerous game, right? When you're talking about inflation's going down. But as you said, people go to the grocery store and they're trying to buy a steak or trying to buy whatever they're getting on a regular basis. You can't hide the fact that that price is so much higher. And people are wondering, is this going to ever come back down? Are my wages ever going to catch up to it? It's very difficult to hide that when you tell somebody, hey, you should be happy right now because we beat inflation. They're not happy. They're not happy with the fact that they're paying double what they used to and don't see any end in sight to that. So, 100%. You know, when it comes to like the political aspect of all of this, it becomes a bit of a dangerous game because it creates this like cognitive dissonance with people. It's like, hey, you, the administration, you're telling me one thing, I'm seeing something else. Well, how do you make that jive? We saw that with COVID as well. It's like, there was so much of an overwhelming narrative around the vaccines and COVID and masks and all this stuff. And then after a certain point, people just saw through it. They saw it in their daily lives. Hey, I don't see people actually dropping dead in the street. And so maybe this is something that is being a little bit overblown, and I shouldn't be thinking about it in the way that I'm being conditioned to.
100%. I love the way you framed it. Anyways, guys, if you're enjoying the show, make sure to smash that like button on YouTube. Help us break our streak of breaking 100 likes within the first hour of the show. And of course, if you're watching us on Rumble, our Rumble audience keeps growing, and on Twitter, smash that like button. Really, really helps with the algos. All right, guys, no more delay. Let's jump straight into news. We have a lot to talk about today. Let's check it out. I want to give a shout out to our sponsor. Have you ever wanted to get into Bitcoin mining and don't know where to start? That's why I want to introduce you to Scott's Build a Mine Bootcamp. He will show you how to build your own Bitcoin mine, how to get the project funded, how to get your facility filled with miners as quickly as possible. With a little luck and by putting all his techniques and strategies to work that he's developed mining Bitcoin for the last 6 years, you could be mining 5 million Satoshis per day or 0.05 Bitcoin in less than 3 months. On the free webinar, he will give you a high-level roadmap that will help you get on your way to building, owning, and operating your own Bitcoin mining farm. Begin your mining journey today. Register for the free webinar now. Click the link in the description of the video below or contact Scott directly on Telegram using his handle @offeredscott and learn how to mine those precious, precious Satoshis.
The Daily News.
I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Foundation Devices. It's self-custody done right. They built a premium-grade hardware wallet called Passport right here in the US. It's fully open source and verifiable. It's the most intuitive Bitcoin wallet designed with a UX reminiscent of a simple feature phone. So you will know how to navigate it and use it the moment you pick it up. Get your Bitcoin off exchanges and into your own hands in just a few minutes. Experience the peace of mind that comes with taking ownership of your own keys. After a massive sellout during Bitcoin Miami 2023, the Passport is back in stock at foundationdevices.com. Bitcoin only, open source verifiable, completely air gap security model, gorgeous design craft, premium grade materials. If you're thinking about getting your Bitcoin off exchanges, this is the one for you. Check out the Passport link in the show notes below to learn more. All right, guys, I made it incredibly easy for you guys. You can scan the QR code right now. Check out Scott's Build a Mine Bootcamp. He'll show you how to build your own Bitcoin mine. And of course, remember, guys, not your keys, not your cheese. Get yourself a hardware wallet. Of course, we recommend our sponsor, the Passport Hardware Wallet by Foundation Devices. Completely open source, the one I personally use. Check it out, guys. You can scan the QR code on your screen, or you can check the link in the video description. All right, guys, big, big day for Bitcoiners. Remember, we need a beachhead. We need a nation state that supports Bitcoin, that makes Bitcoin legal tender. We need that, unfortunately, right? I do agree in the theory from the sovereign individual. I think over time, information technologies is going to make politics irrelevant. However, during the transitionary period, I think politics still play a key role, because, you know, the reality is that if you live in a certain jurisdiction where the local government treats Bitcoin in a hostile manner, they can make your life pretty tough. Right. So the fact that we have a beachhead, the fact that we have a nation state that supports Bitcoin, that makes Bitcoin legal tender, that has a Bitcoin office, is a big deal. And now here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, Nayib Bukele was up for re-election. It was vital that he went and that he won this re-election, because, you know, it was not guaranteed that if another candidate won, they could have repealed that Bitcoin law. Right. And it's going to be a lot harder to repeal if Bitcoin gets another 5 years uninterrupted. Here are some of the streets. Here's in front of the presidential palace last night. People were absolutely celebrating. People were going bananas and they're waiting for Nayib Bukele to make his speech. I'm going to translate one of his speeches because really gave me goosebumps. Unfortunately, there is no English subtitles, so I'm going to have to translate it on the go, which is OK. People are extremely excited for this.
It looked lit.
For this historic win. Here's a more drone shot from the outside. People were celebrating. People were celebrating the continued peace, the continued freedom. This is what it's all about. That almost looks like there's a Bitcoin logo on the side of the building, but no, that was an H. That'd be funny as hell. So people were obviously celebrating. It looks like a concert. And of course, you have to look at El Salvador in a historical context, right? This is a country that endured 30 years of civil war. This used to be one of the most violent countries on the face of the planet. People were sick and tired of the status quo. The left-wing party, the FLMN party, and the right-wing party, the Arena party, they kept whoever was voted into office, regardless of the party, nothing changed. People were sick and tired of it. Nayib Bukele's party literally called Nuevas Ideas, which translates to new ideas in English. He came in there and he actually started doing the things that he was elected to do, which was, you know, make the country safer, make it more business friendly to attract investors, to attract Bitcoiners. And he did just that. And the people are rewarding him with re-election. This is a historic landslide. He won the vote by 87%. If you compare that to the US, or if you compare that with Javier Milei in Argentina, Javier Milei only won by like 5-6%, right? He won like 55 or 56% of the vote. Nayib Bukele won 87% of the vote. If you take a look at this from a from an electoral standpoint, this is a landslide. This is a complete and utter landslide. No other opponent even broke 5%. Right. So clearly the people of El Salvador have spoken, but that doesn't stop the legacy corporate media from releasing their propaganda a couple weeks before the election. Right. Take a look at this Bloomberg article. Like, this is sending a sign. Right. This is a very, you know, top picture at the very top. Take a look at how this is framed. A brutal crime crackdown is emboldening leaders across Latin America. Nayib Bukele has brought violent criminal gangs to heel in El Salvador. While that's made the country safer and him extremely popular, his strongman tactics have come at the cost of civil liberties, right? That's like a certain narrative. And of course, put that with the picture. Like, it's a very, very, like, it's very, very strong. And if you take a look at The Economist, by the way, I searched The Economist and Nayib Bukele. Take a look at how many times they posted this. These are multiple posts. This is February 2nd, February 3rd, right? February 4th. They're posting this consecutively, right? And then the from the quote, it says, the powers El Salvador president has amassed are enough to cow the press, the judiciary, and his opponents. When reelected, which he is certain to be this weekend, he will no doubt continue to dismantle checks and balances. Under Nayib Bukele's rule, normal life has returned to bullet pocket neighborhoods of El Salvador. But ahead of Sunday's election, there are enormous downsides to his approach. El Salvador's president has brought peace to a country previously terrorized by criminal gangs, but he has also used his crusade for public order as an excuse to move towards authoritarianism. This is clearly, the press has an agenda. Why are they so terrified of this guy? I think that's the question, and I have a very simple answer to this. And also, this holds a very special place in my heart as a Latin American myself, as a first generation immigrant. The reason that they hate El Salvador is not only does it prove that their solution to the violent crime, which is rampant all over Latin America, works, but that some of the politicians themselves are partners with the criminals themselves, right? And I think this embarrasses a lot of other Latin American countries. And I think this embarrasses a lot of leaders in the United States as well. And of course, they're using, you know, their allies in the media to try to convince people of just that, but it's not working. Even representatives of the US Congress are going out, and this is Representative Omar. She said, I led members of Congress in sending a letter to Secretary Blinken urging actions on threats to democracy in El Salvador. How are they defining democracy? This is literally democracy for you. He has 87% of the vote. So are you trying to say that you know what's better for the people of El Salvador? This is election interference. I'll be honest with you. I know it's a very strong statement, but it is. And she got community noted. El Salvador's democratically elected president, Nayib Bukele, won the 2019 election with a 54% majority. He did such a great job that 54% went to 87%. Under his leadership, El Salvador's murder rate has fallen 93%, and he currently has a 91% approval rating amongst El Salvadorian citizens. How are you defining democracy? This is literally democracy at work. Anyways, and of course, Nayib Bukele is aware of that. In his victory speech, which obviously we don't have the time to play the entire thing, he titled it, if you translate it from Spanish to English, says true democracy, right? And I'll get to a part of his speech in referencing actual democracy. I don't know if I'll have time to play the entire thing, but I'll try to translate some of it.
Me decía un periodista español.
So a Spanish journalist told me.
Un saludo a todos los amigos españoles.
Greetings to all my Spanish friends.
Buenos. Me decía un periodista español. De un periódico. Bueno, Lo País.
So he's referencing that there's a Spanish journalist coming from the publication. It's called El País, and he had a question for Nayib Bukele.
Me decía un periodista español, ¿por qué quieren desmantelar la democracia?
Why do you want to dismantle democracy? Right. So you could see that regardless of the international, whether it's Bloomberg, whether that's The Economist, even a legacy media outlet in Spain, it's the same question. Why are you dismantling democracy? Check out Nayib Bukele's response.
Yo le dije, ¿pero de qué democracia nos estás hablando?
Of what democracy are you talking about?
Democracia significa el poder del pueblo.
Democracy signifies the power of the people.
Demos y Kratos.
De ahí viene la palabra democracia. Demos y kratos. Demos significa pueblo.
The word democracy comes from demos kratos. Demos signifies pueblo, which means the people.
Y kratos significa poder.
Kratos means power, so power to the people.
Significa el poder del pueblo. Y si el pueblo salvadoreño quiere esto, ¿por qué va a venir un periodista español a decirnos?
And if the Salvadorian, this gives me chills, and if the Salvadorian people want this, why is a journalist from Spain coming to my country and dictating to me what is democracy? Very, very FU statement from Nayib Bukele. And you have to ask yourself, why is this happening? Well, I'm going to show you two examples. One is kind of a meme from Walker America. Shout out to the crypto couple. And here is an article that Nayib Bukele wrote himself. And it goes on to say, the most vocal detractors, the ones who are afraid and pressuring us to reverse our decision, are the world's most powerful elites, and the people who work for or benefit from them. They used to own everything, and in a way they still do. The media, the banks, the NGOs, the international organizations, and almost all the governments and corporations in the world. And with that, of course, they also own the armies, the loans, the money supply, the credit ratings, the narrative, the propaganda, the factories, the food supply. They control international trade and international law. But their most powerful weapon is the control of the truth. And they are willing to fight, lie, smear, destroy, confiscate, print, and do whatever it takes to maintain and increase their control over the truth and everything and everyone. And here is a kind of like a meme article from, you know, of course, it's Dick Cuckerson. Of course, this is Walker America making fun of a legacy media outlet. And it's from The Economist. And this is all meme, by the way. This is an actual article. And it says the disastrous implications of stability in Latin America is the headline. And this is when Americans start raising questions about all the gang crime, poverty, and political corruption in the United States of America. U.S. politicians and their media allies have deployed the same successful strategy for decades. Remind U.S. citizens how much worse it is in Latin America. It's not lying per se. It's just a tactic used to ensure Americans don't start demanding true reform. After all, the grass is always greener on the side with the best propaganda. So, like, you know, hit the nail on the head. And I just got to say this. El Salvador wasn't even on. I'm going to make myself full screen. And Trey, I apologize beforehand. Where was fucking El Salvador before the Bitcoin law? No one gave a flying fuck about El Salvador. It wasn't even on the map. Why do they all start to care now? Well, it's because it makes them look bad. You know, Walker America put it perfectly. It makes them look bad. This is what it's all about. How dare this Spanish reporter go and question Nayib Bukele about him dismantling democracy, even though that is like the most historic landslide in terms of elections I've ever seen in my life. 87%. This guy's the most popular president in the Americas, and it's because he was elected to do the thing he promised the people, and he actually did the things that he promised he said he was going to do. And that makes politicians look bad. That's what it's all about. I think it's not that El Salvador is a threat to democracy. I think El Salvador is a threat to the status quo, not only because of the Bitcoin law, but also because of Nayib Bukele's leadership. All that being said, I just got to say, Nayib Bukele is a politician after all. You know, absolute power does corrupt. Absolutely. You know, we have to keep an eye out. But so far in his first term in office, he's been absolutely crushing it. And you cannot deny that he's improved the lives of the vast majority of the El Salvadorian people. And as a Latin American myself, coming from a country that was absolutely destroyed by a terrible government, Venezuela, this is inspirational. And the fact that you see lines going around the block in different cities all around the United States of El Salvadorians excited to elect this guy back into power, that's why the media is attacking him. That's why the politicians are attacking him, because it makes them look bad. It's an alternative system, which is clearly working, and it's better. Anyways, I want to get Trey's opinion on this, and we'll move on to Opti.
Well, democracy is something that is touted as like the end goal of all of political aspirations around the world by politicians in the US and in the Western world and corporate leaders and all of that. But really, they don't care about democracy per se. They care about influence and control over what is going on around the world. And so if they don't like the outcome of whatever that democratic process actually produces, they will try to label it as something that is not democratic. And so it goes back to what we were talking about at the very beginning, which is that it's all about the language and the framing and the way that you channel the language around producing the results that you want to see, which is to accrete power back to the US and the Western world leaders there, and away from some of these other smaller countries who are pretty much just dependent, or historically have been, on loans from the IMF and all of these other powerful interests.
100%, 100%. Opti, what's your take on this before we move on to the culture?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, we say it all the time, like Bitcoin seems to expose the fake news for better or worse. And Nayib Bukele has done a great, great job at exposing the same fake news apparatus that pushes these agendas. And, you know, just because we are in America, I just find it very interesting that so many Americans are so concerned with what a tiny Latin American country is doing, especially when he has this much favor, voted a landslide 87% approval rating and voting election results. It's absolutely incredible. Personally, I think Americans and any country at large should really be focused on what's best for their country. And Nayib Bukele is an example of this. He's doing what's best for his people. And like, how dare a president make their citizens safe, healthy, and wealthy? Like, this is unheard of. What kind of psychopath is he? Obviously, I'm being sarcastic, but like, our politicians don't do this. And here we are, concerned about what's going on in El Salvador. It's absolutely ridiculous that this is where we are right now. And, you know, kudos to Nayib Bukele and all the people in El Salvador. This is definitely a win for freedom, a win against tyranny, and a win against this global agenda to have everyone controlled and in a single hegemony, and making sure that they're all under the boot of, you know, the giant central bank apparatus. So I think this is not only a huge win for El Salvador, but for every freedom-minded person in the world. And man, just like the love of his people is absolutely incredible. Like, that looked like a concert or something. Like, the fact that everyone came out and was just that hype, like, it's, man, it was giving me chills. And I haven't watched that whole speech, but I'll have to go watch it. Like, shouts out to Nayib Bukele. It's absolutely incredible that this is where we are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're right. Like, the Western countries, the US in particular, we've got a lot of problems internally. So why are we focusing on some other country that's in Central America that, you know, we should be focusing on our own affairs, fixing that inflation problem that we were talking about before, right?
Yeah.
And the crime and, the immigration problem that's been amplified in recent weeks. There's no reason that we need to be meddling in this country's affairs. Let them take care of their own, do things the way that they want to do and see fit, and honor their democracy in the way that we talk, like, right? Let's walk and talk.
Exactly.
Well, I want to point out something else real fast here, which is that we kind of hardly touched on the Bitcoin side of all of this, right?
Yeah.
Which is that Bitcoin just got another 5 years of runway in El Salvador to instantiate itself and really like seep into the culture in a much more profound way. It seems pretty clear that Bukele is going to stick with that message. He's going to continue to challenge the IMF and the billion-dollar loan that they keep holding over his head. And what's really interesting about this is that when El Salvador adopted Bitcoin, it was kind of at the top of the last bull market. And then what we've seen since then was a grinding lower in prices, a whole bunch of explosions around the industry and companies and all of the crypto stuff, you know, imploding on itself, and a whole lot of bearish and downtrodden headlines around Bitcoin more broadly, and kind of people dancing on the grave of Bukele and El Salvador for adopting Bitcoin right at the top of all of that. The script is completely flipped right now. We are getting ready to enter into the next couple of years of a bull market, and Bukele is going to come out looking like an absolute genius for adopting this Bitcoin strategy. It's going to accrue a ton of wealth into the country. He's already got the infrastructure in place to bring in more business and continue that adoption. And Bitcoin itself is much more ready to accept a large inflow of capital around the world, but also to start accepting a lot more in terms of payment infrastructure and payment flows that we will start to see when the bull market really gets into gear. So we're at a turning point. We're at an inflection point. We've got 5 years of Nayib Bukele in El Salvador pushing Bitcoin adoption and right at the cusp of a bull market. It's going to be hugely, hugely bullish.
100%. That's literally why, you know, this is such a big deal. 5 more years for Bitcoin to flourish, 100%. All right, ladies and gentlemen, before we get to the culture, I do want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Bitcoin Evangelism. We have 10 million people to Orange Pill. Bitcoin Evangelism by Brian DeMint is an absolute beast of a resource for Orange Pilling no coiners and altcoiners alike. This is a book for Bitcoiners who know Bitcoin but have a hard time explaining it to their friends. It's a book for Bitcoiners who are trying to explain Bitcoin only to altcoiners. It's available on Amazon. You can check the link in the video description, or you can scan the QR code on your screen. All right, everybody, let's get to the culture. We have a lot to talk about. Let's check it out. Here we go.
The Daily Culture.
All right, guys, I also want to give a shout out to Cabin Racks. They are the most trusted place to buy, sell, and host mining equipment. You can check out their racks by scanning the QR code, or you can check the link in the video description. Check out their massive inventory on Telegram. Connect with a member of their sales team. They make purchasing easy and transparent. You could also sell your mining equipment with them. Access their vast network of domestic and international customers when you sell your mining equipment with them. What are you waiting for? This is where I buy my Bitcoin mining ASICs. Cabin Racks. All right, Opti. It's off, my friend.
Let's go. All right, Trey. So, for those that aren't aware, maybe let's just start with, you know, what are you guys doing over at Unchained, and what are all the services that you guys provide at Unchained Capital?
Well, Unchained has been around for quite a long time, actually. We're one of the oldest companies in the space. We've got a ton of experience. And that relationship that we have with our clients is typically formed around making sure that they are controlling the keys to their Bitcoin in a way that does not have a single point of failure, has no counterparty risk, and has an incredible team around them to make sure that they're doing it the right way, that they understand the best practices on holding Bitcoin private keys, on securing that Bitcoin for themselves while they're alive, and then being in a position where they can pass it on to their family members in that inheritance planning scenario. We do this for individuals. A large contingent of our client base are high net worth individuals, and family offices and investment funds and all that. And we work with a lot of businesses as well. And my title as VP Enterprise Sales is really focused on expanding the marketplace that we are operating in and providing this next level of Bitcoin custody options for people who are coming into the space and are looking for a way to own Bitcoin outright, the real thing, not the ETF, and take advantages of all of the benefits that you get from owning real Bitcoin. And then around that, we have other financial services. I think of Unchained as a financial services company for a Bitcoin world. You can buy and sell Bitcoin directly with us in the US. We have commercial loans that are Bitcoin backed, so you can access the value of that Bitcoin that you're holding without having to sell it for your business, for commercial, for business, for investment purposes there. And then we have a Bitcoin IRA as well. A lot of our clients on the individual side will find us through our IRA product because they've got capital locked up in the fiat financial world in an old 401k or an IRA. Maybe they now have the option of accessing the Bitcoin ETF, but they want to hold the real thing. They want to be able to hold actual Bitcoin on their own keys, not have a single point of failure, and do that in the best possible way. And that's what we offer. So that suite of financial services that are bridging the gap between Bitcoin and the fiat financial world allows for more capital come in and for people to hold actual Bitcoin in a way that can prepare them for a long HODL period and so that they can pass it on to future generations.
Yeah, 100%. And I also, as a I've I love using all the different companies and their collaborative custody models, whether that's Nunchuck, Casa, Swan recently announced one, the Unchained is one of my favorites. And I'm not just saying that because Trey's here, but the UI, you guys have clearly put a lot of emphasis on the UI. The collaborative custody product is incredible. Also to verify, let's say, for example, I'm sure a lot of people are not familiar with this, but essentially what collaborative custody is you hold two keys and then a third party holds another key. And the reason that you'd want to use something like that is in case you lose one of your keys, you know that you can rely on a very reputable company like Unchained to sign for you, right? And one of the verification methods that they use is they make you essentially record a video and read a certain thing. So it's to verify that it's you, right? To verify that it's you that is actually requesting Unchained to sign that. And also from a loan perspective, you guys do something extremely unique, which is you guys do it's kind of like a collaborative. Now I wouldn't say it's like a collaborative. Loan type of thing where Unchained holds a key, another third party holds a key, and then you hold a key. And what's really interesting is when you, use Unchained to do a loan, you put your Bitcoin as collateral. And unlike, certain companies, I don't want to name any names, that rehypothecated Bitcoin, when you put your Bitcoin as collateral with Unchained, that Bitcoin doesn't move. Like you see it in the Bitcoin address and that Bitcoin does not move, right? So obviously, from a trust perspective, there's still an element of trust, but I would rather use a product like Unchained instead of, another company that, puts all that Bitcoin in a pot. And it sure does take a lot of discipline for people not to use someone else's money to make money themselves. Which
Nico, everything we build and everything we offer is built on this foundation of collaborative custody that includes the loan product that we have. So as you said, you're using two of three multi-sig, and you as our client hold one of those three keys. So you can verify for yourself that the Bitcoin has not been moved. It hasn't been commingled with anybody else's funds, has not been rehypothecated. It's sitting there purely as collateral for the loan. And that will give you the highest level of assurances that you're going to get the Bitcoin back at the end of the loan term. It's a really incredible product. We really pioneered this collaborative custody model around our loans and then expanded it into the custody world. And beyond that, you mentioned collaborative custody. It is absolutely true. And the best way to hold your Bitcoin is to actually have unilateral control over it, where you are holding the private keys. There's no better way than in this collaborative custody model where you can control two keys and Unchained controls the third. We're in a position to help you recover in case something happens to one of those two keys, or if something happens to you, that inheritance scenario pans out. That's where we are so much benefit to your family member to make sure that the Bitcoin can securely move in the direction that your estate plan is dictating. But there are other models outside of just that pure self-custody model that are actually very beneficial. And sometimes that self-custody model is not really within reach with certain individuals or with certain organizations. So when we think about an enterprise, a very large enterprise, a lot of times they can't hold their own keys. That might be a regulatory reason. That might be a compliance reason. It might be an audit reason. They may just not feel comfortable or ready to do that, but they can still get the benefits of collaborative custody by delegating the key management responsibility to other independent institutional key agents that work with Unchained and what we call our network of keys. And so we've got partnerships with a few other companies in the space that are adept at holding those keys on behalf of clients. They can hold real Bitcoin that's actual UTXOs that they can identify on chain. They have legal ownership over. They're not fully holding the keys, but they also don't have a single point of failure in terms of just trusting a custodian, qualified custodian or not. If you are trusting somebody with your Bitcoin, you've got a single point of failure. And if something or anything happens to that organization, your Bitcoin might be at risk. And so you want to eliminate that counterparty risk to the degree that's possible. And you can do that by distributing the key management responsibilities across multiple institutions. That's where a lot of enterprises are going to be going. That's where we're going to see a huge amount of people coming into the space and wanting to get access to Bitcoin in a Bitcoin native way, using functionality that is built into Bitcoin that was made for this asset, which can't be done with gold, can't be done with stocks, can't be done with fiat, can't be done with real estate or any other asset out there. It's unique to Bitcoin, and you want to lean into that and be able to get the benefits of holding actual Bitcoin without any single points of failure.
100%, and it's something unique to Bitcoin, right? Because you can't do that with the traditional finance, you can't, right? But with Bitcoin, because it's an open ledger, you can verify that Bitcoin isn't going anywhere. Right. You put that Bitcoin up as collateral or collaborative custody. You can verify yourself. That Bitcoin ain't going anywhere. It's not being rehypothecated. It's not being put in another pile of other people's money. It's there. Right. And I think the collaborative custody model is the future, not only for loans, but like you said, enterprises as well. And it's so unique to Bitcoin because, again, not to name any names, but the fact that, previous companies were using models that have been tried and tested for over 100 years in finance, and it's led to catastrophic results multiple times in the 30s, in the 2020s. It's the same thing. There's a pile of cash, and when the money, when it's a bull market, I don't even think it's malintentioned. I think it's like, oh, it's a bull market. We offer, 2-3% yield, right? We make money too. But the, when push comes to shove is when the bear market hits. And that's really when it's like, oh, oops, we made a mistake. We don't have your money anymore. But with this collaborative custody model, that Bitcoin doesn't move. It stays right there. So it doesn't matter what the market conditions are. That your Bitcoin that you put up as collateral, or your Bitcoin, if you're an enterprise, that Bitcoin ain't moving, and you can verify it yourself. It's an open ledger, right? So I definitely think it's leveraging the capabilities that Bitcoin gives you to build a new financial system on top of it, a better financial system, a more transparent financial system. And I really think it's going to change things. I think the future of Bitcoin, especially if you hold large amounts or if you're a corporation, is collaborative custody. It is using multi-sig to your advantage.
Yeah, and shout out to the guys at Bitwise, right? They're leaning into that transparency by publishing the Bitcoin address that they're using at Coinbase Custody to say, hey, this is the Bitcoin that we own as part of this ETF and the shares that we're issuing. A lot of people came out and were expressing support for that type of transparency. It's a type of transparency that you can't get with other assets. And so kudos to them for leaning into that. I think the future of the Bitcoin ETFs belongs in collaborative custody, right? If you look down the list of all of the ETFs that are out there, about 90% of them or whatever have Coinbase custody as their custodian. That is a massive single point of failure honeypot. If something goes wrong, all of those ETFs are going to be affected. All of the holders of the shares of those ETFs are going to be affected. So say what you will about whether an ETF is good or bad for Bitcoin or whatever, the fact is it is here. And for those issuers to really differentiate themselves and come to the market to say, look, if you buy our ETF, you are holding Bitcoin that is much more transparent and does not have a single point of failure in terms of the custodian. That's a really powerful message and a way to differentiate among those other competitors. I think we will see some of these ETF issuers and other major holders of Bitcoin moving into this collaborative custody model. It's absolutely the best way to do it.
I 100% agree with you. Anyways, Opti, we got about 9 minutes left.
Yeah, one last question for the viewers out there, for you, Trey. If someone wanted to upgrade their Bitcoin security, what's the process like with Unchained?
We have the best team on the planet in terms of Bitcoin private keys, multi-sig, and helping people understand what this process looks like. We've got a couple of different options. Our premium option is called Unchained Signature. It's everything that an individual would need for their Bitcoin journey, not only when they're getting up to speed and getting everything set up, but in an ongoing fashion, right? So we do regular health checkups with our clients. We have exclusive events. We have unlimited premium support. All of the things that you would need as somebody who's maybe holding a large amount of Bitcoin and is just coming into this and wanting to make sure you get the best possible experience, That is what Unchained Signature does. Our standard, general way of onboarding is called concierge onboarding. Our team will take you through a 60-minute session over Zoom and just guide you through the entire process of setting up your multi-sig vault, helping you move the Bitcoin into the vault, showing you how to deposit, how to withdraw, how to recover access to your Bitcoin outside of our platform. Unchained is not a single point of failure in this setup at all. We build everything in a Bitcoin native way using open source standards and allow you to take your vault with you to other open source tools like Sparrow Wallet, like Caravan, which we created, Spectre, Electrum, you know, those open source tools that everyone is very familiar with. And so by coming through this process and really getting a great education in how multi-sig works and the best practices around operational security for Bitcoin keys, you really set yourself up for making sure that your Bitcoin is in the best possible security posture. And then included in all of this is this idea of inheritance planning. We touched on it a little bit, but we want to make sure that the succession of your Bitcoin keys and the way that that Bitcoin can move in the direction of your estate plan is taken care of. All of that is included in the services that that you're paying for with us. And then we're there to support you in an ongoing fashion with the best possible support infrastructure that could be brought to market. So we've got an incredible team over here. Please go to the website. We do complimentary consultations. Feel free to sign up for one of those, and we'll really talk to you in a personalized manner to make sure that you get all of your questions answered and get started in the right way.
Absolutely. Check out unchained.com. Like I said, I've used the product many times. Great. Not only great product, but also great customer service. You guys have a 1-800 number as well for loans, right? So you can't say that about, not to name any names, but you can't say that about every Bitcoin company or exchange or whatever. There is no number to call. So yeah, definitely recommend it. Collaborative custody, the loan products are great. It's just a great company overall. You know, they definitely put a lot of love and effort into it. And of course, it's a company of Bitcoiners, right? So Bitcoiners, we're all on the same mission. We all want hyper-Bitcoinization. And I think you guys are definitely accelerating that with what you guys are building over there. So Trey, it's been an honor to have you on Simply Bitcoin Live. Really, really appreciate it. And thank you so much for telling everybody about Unchained and all the things you guys have to offer. Like I said, guys, go to unchained.com if you guys want more info. You can also find Trey on Twitter. Go to TS_HODL. You go from there. But Trey, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Nico. Thanks, Opti. I really appreciate it. It was great being with you guys.
Appreciate it. All right, guys, that was the show. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. Consider subscribing if you feel like we provided you value. But the number one thing you could do to help push the peaceful Bitcoin revolution is share Bitcoin content. In fact, share Bitcoin culture, share Bitcoin music, share Bitcoin products, share Bitcoin everything. We have to win over the hearts and minds. You have to convince people that it's not left versus right. It's not red versus blue. It's the party of green versus the party of orange, the party of peace, optimism, prosperity, opportunity. All right. Love you guys all. We'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin Live.